God, we thank you for the dreams and the visions that you've placed on our hearts and for the ways that you've guided us, even sometimes when we were not aware of it. God, we thank you for your presence. So God, we ask that you would bless us as we speak your word once again, as your scriptures proclaimed. God, we love you and we thank you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome, everyone. It's so good to see you all and good to see those that are worshiping with us online. I sometimes forget to say good morning to you, but good morning. I'm glad you're with us wherever you may be, whichever camera you may be watching from, wherever you are. So glad that you're with us. We've been speaking for the last few weeks on dreams and visions. Sometimes we think of them as our hopes. Sometimes we think about them as ways that we can encourage one another. The things that we're dreaming about, that we get glimpses of, visions of. And I think about the hopes that we have, that we share for this congregation. It's been so good to read about what your hopes are as well. Some folks are hoping for a deeper relationship, a deeper walk with Christ. Some folks are hoping for more connection, for a chance to really come out of the pandemic and be back into a place where we can worship again. Thank you so much for continuing to be aware that we're going through a difficult time and to be safe and to be careful of those things. We encourage that as we move forward. But one vision that I have of this church, it coming in from with fresh eyes, is that in some ways I feel like this church is a best kept secret, and that there are families that could come in, people that could come in and say, well, this is a beautiful place where people love the Lord and love one another. And we could feel it. We can sense that when we walk in. That's the continuing vision and dream that I feel is lived out in you. And I just wanted to thank you for that. When we talk about dreams and visions, there's lots of ways to think about them. And today I wanted to talk about the kind of definition of dream that happens when we sleep, when we close our eyes and go to sleep. Many of you grew up with a prayer that we don't say anymore much because it can be a little daunting or scary, but it begins with the words, "Now I lay me down to sleep." And you know the next line. "I pray the Lord my soul to keep," right? So when I'm going to sleep, God, be with me, guide me, be present. Let me feel and sense and know your presence. I love what Pastor G talked about, that even dreams that we can't remember, that we don't really, we know we dream something, but to know that God is with us even in that time. There are some alternates. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, that's one less test I have to take." Is that one? No, that's not one. I heard one, if I die before I wake, Lord, let me just go ahead and thank you in advance. That's another one. But really, the idea is that we're safe with God. We talked about our eternal hope last week. And if I die before I wake, God, here's my soul. Take me. Take all of me. In my heart, my mind. Take my lips and speak through them. This is our prayer. And so when we think about our lives, if... You know, this is the math to it. I'm not a real good math guy, but it turns out that we spend roughly one-third of our lives sleeping, which means that if you live to be 79 years old, you have spent 26 years asleep. 26 years in the average lifetime of sleeping. And I believe that God doesn't waste any of that time. That maybe even the dreams that we have when we're sleeping, they affect the way that we operate when we're awake. Some dreams we don't remember. Some dreams we can't forget. Sometimes we see visions. We remember things in different ways where we understand. That's different. That's not the normal dream. That's not the normal sort of vision that I have. I feel like that's divinely inspired as a way that God might be speaking and guiding my path, our paths together. So I wanted to take just a moment and look today. I had a chance this past week to study and to go through the scriptures and to look at dreams and visions in the scriptures. And one verse that stands out that kind of gives us a place to start is in the book of Job. And it is this. You know, we talk about the ways that God speaks. And I believe that God speaks in a language of meaning. You know, I remember when we were studying, I was studying Greek and Hebrew and learning about different languages, biblical languages, and the idea came forward from a professor that God speaks the language of meaning. It crosses cultures, it crosses time, where God speaks to us in meaning. And in Job 33, verse 14, "For God does speak, now one way, now another, though no one perceives it. In a dream, a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings, to turn them from wrongdoing and keep them from pride, to preserve them from the pit, their lives from perishing by the sword." It's an interesting Hebrew word. This word deep sleep is the word tardima. Tardy ma. It's easy to remember that. You think about your ma being tardy if she was sleeping deeply, right? That's how you can remember that. We all probably need a nap now and then to sleep deeply. God answers one way or the other, even when people don't recognize his presence. If you turn to the father of our faith, Abram, who would be known as Abraham, he is given this deep sleep in Genesis 15:12. When the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep and the thick, dreadful darkness came over him. It was foreboding. And God showed him a vision of in his dream of a covenant being cut, animals being torn apart, as the way that you make a covenant in those days was that you would sacrifice the animals, and then there would be a path in between the animals, and you would walk in between the path of cut animals to make this covenant, and it would be basically saying that if I break this covenant, may this happen to me as what happened to the animals. May I be torn apart. And it's interesting that when Abram saw this vision of God's covenant, he saw God walking through as a light, as a smoking firebrand, is what it's called in the Bible, walking through the torn pieces of the animals, as if to give us this glimpse forward that God would make this covenant. Abram's sleeping at the time. He's not walking in between, but God is making this covenant to say that even if it's broken, God would pay the price. We turn a little bit farther in the story, and we see Jacob running from his troubles. He's lied to his father. I love the questions that Miss Marcia had this morning, where we wonder so much about this vivid dream of Jacob's ladder, and then when he awoke, he realized. He said, "I didn't perceive it at the time, but God, you were here. You're with me." He says, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." A few pages in Genesis later, we have another generation where Joseph is the youngest son. And he is burdened by these dreams. And he tells the dreams to his brothers. You know, he has his brothers, and they are ticked off by his dreams. It's kind of a lesson to us that if you have a dream where you're ruling over your family members, might not tell them that, right? That's he had a couple of three different dreams where they're worshiping him, falling down and worshiping him. And it says, "Listen, I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." what would happen is he would be sold into slavery. And we know the story. He rose to great prominence from the lowly place by interpreting the dreams of those around him. God gave him this vision to interpret those dreams that people were having, the baker and the cupbearer. And then word traveled in Pharaoh's household that Joseph could tell what these dreams were, the famous dreamer, and he saved the nation from a drought, and he rose to great importance in the kingdom. And his family were able to, they came back asking for grain, as you remember in Genesis, the very end of Genesis, and Joseph said, what you intended for bad, God used for good. It's a theme that would continue all through the scriptures. After Joseph, we come to Solomon. Now, this isn't a complete list of all the dreamers in the Bible, but I love kind of looking at different ones. King Solomon had a dream that he met with God, and God asked him, what is it that you're asking me for? God said, ask me for anything, and I'll give it to you. And he asked for wisdom, for discernment, for being a good leader. The way that this is, I love the Message translation of this. Where is it in 1 Kings? The Message translation is, here's what I want. Give me a God-listening heart so that I can lead your people well, discerning the difference between good and evil. For who on their own is capable of leading your glorious people? Which makes me wonder if you had a dream and God asked you that question, what is it that you're looking for? What is it that you're wanting? What would you ask God for? We see the same sort of pattern happen again in the book of Daniel. Daniel translates the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. After this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Oh, I'm in the wrong place, sorry. You go all through the Bible, you're going to find all kinds of different dreams and different dreamers. But in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that he didn't even remember. And Daniel remembered his dream. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And he saw what it was that the king was going through. When we come to the New Testament, the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, we have Joseph, the dreamer, Joseph of Bethlehem, who has this dream that he's to take Mary as his wife and not divorce her. And I always wonder, why is it that he sees the angel in a dream while Mary sees the angel in her awakened time in Luke's gospel? It starts off with a dream here in Matthew. Joseph has three dreams, and it keeps his family safe. He's able to listen to his dreams. And you wonder if he's kind of thinking about the scripture from Job, that God just might be speaking to me in this dream somehow. And he keeps his family safe, moves them to Egypt, and then back home from Egypt when things are safe. And we have over and over again at pivotal times in the spread of the Gospels, how in the spread of the good news, how at pivotal times people are given visions and dreams. We think about Ananias who has this dream that he's supposed to go and meet Paul and pray over Paul. The centurion Cornelius who has this dream that he's going to meet Peter. And there's this sort of expanding and openness of the message being brought to the ends of the earth through God's people. Until in Revelation, my favorite visions, one of our greatest, the greatest visions here comes at the very end when John and the island of Patmos is given this vision. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Now, the reason why I wanted to spend some time going through the scriptures, kind of a big overview of dreams and visions in the scriptures, certainly not a complete list, but it's to say that we join the story, don't we? In the promises in Acts chapter 2, that when the Holy Spirit is given to God's people, we are the ones that have dreams and visions. The young men are to have visions, the old men are to dream dreams, and everyone is going to prophesy, the sons and the daughters going to give encouragement, going to give comfort, going to build up and edify the church. Now, the best part about this, the best part of this message, this sermon, isn't what you hear from me, but it's what we hear from each other. At the 8:30 service, I had a conversation on the way out with someone that said, I had a dream back when I was 18 years old. And this was an older lady. She said, I had a dream. It just changed my life. It was about what I should do or what I should be. And I believe that I should go to nursing school and do this. It was different from other dreams that she had had. And I wonder about the dreams that God's placed on your heart, the visions that you've seen or the ways that God has spoken to you during that one third of your life that you spent sleeping. I have had many dreams, and sometimes you can discern, you can tell that was just my anxiety. I don't think that was from God. That dream that I had of Willie Nelson when we're at the campfire and he hands me his guitar trigger and it crumbles into dust in my hands, and Willie Nelson looks at me like I've broken his treasured guitar, and then I wake up and realize it's a dream, thank goodness. Anxiety dreams. You know, we all have them. I've had dreams where the congregation is not really feeling the sermon. They start leaving, and I can't speak the words. Thank you for still being here after all that. But one dream that I'll never forget is a dream that I had when I was in camp, and I dreamed it was like a 15-minute nap that I took, But in that 15-minute nap, I was given some flying shoes. I put them on, these flying shoes. And all of a sudden, it was like a roller derby rink. But it was in the sky, like a roller derby rink in the sky. And we're like flying, and there's other people, and I'm waving, and it's all good. And they're flying too, and they're looking at me, and we're flying. And I get to the very end of the track or place where we were ending, and I saw this old, wise man, and I knew that represented wisdom. I didn't know how, but then beside the man was a cake, and the cake was covered with a glass thing, and I said, oh, this is like the prize for going with my flying shoes, and I'm going to grab the cake, and the old man says, don't take too much. It's not all for you. It's for everyone. And I wake up puzzled, thinking about this dream. Maybe you've had dreams like this as well that stand out to you. And this morning, we were talking as we were, you know, this topic comes up, and everybody with this human experience, how God has ministered to us. And the topic came up, have you ever been visited in a dream by a relative or a friend who's passed? And I thought about it, and yeah, sure enough, I have. But I always wondered, and I'm saying this out loud, I always wondered, was it really a visitation from that person, or was it just me remembering them in my dream? And I asked that question to my friend Dixie here, and Dixie looked at me and she said, well, that depends on if you believe that it was particular or discreet, or are we all connected in that spirit? And the hairs on my arms started to tingle a little bit, and I believe that we're all connected in that. What a beautiful thing to remember. So I don't know what dreams or visions God has for you, but I think that the joy of being a church is that we get to share them together. We get to dream these things and hope these things, and all through it we know that God is blessing us, that God is leading us, sometimes guiding us. As we remember in the scripture from Job, God does speak in one way, now another, and it's we that don't perceive it. I believe it's the same way that God is present with us. God is always already here, but it is we that need to come into more of an awareness of God's presence. That's my hope and my prayer for us, is that we become more and more aware of the dreams and the visions that God has for us to share as we build up, as we encourage, and as we comfort one another. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you. We thank you for your blessing and your word to us. We thank you that with you, no time is wasted. God, we thank you for the great cloud of witnesses that we're connected to and that we're a part of. And God, as we move from this place forward, thank you for the opportunity to share what our hopes, our dreams, our visions are. God, thank you that no matter where we are or where we go, whether we're awake or asleep or somewhere in between, that you are still God, that you are still with us, that you are connected to us in that way, and that in you, that perfect love, we have nothing to fear. God, sometimes we feel that great darkness, that foreboding danger. God, thank you for your word to us that in you is light. And that light is the light of all people. And that the darkness could not overtake it. God, we ask that you would wake us up to a new day, to new life and possibility. God, we thank you for these blessings. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.